very glad to be here on this last day of Unleavened Bread 2010. 7 days now, we have had leavening out of our homes, eating instead unleavened bread. Are we done? Have we completed the tasks tonight at sunset? What have we really been doing? What does it picture? Is it simply putting sin out of our lives? Is there another aspect? Is there a reason we are commanded to eat unleavened bread for 7 days? I'd like to lead into my purpose today with a short visual example. For those of you that aren't here and can't see, I apologize, but don't worry, as it will be quite easy to follow along. I have here a glass that's seemingly empty, but it's not. This glass is filled to the brim with air. Now, consider for a moment that the air in this glass is a type of sin, just as leaven is a type of sin. If I were to take a spoon and begin spooning air out of this glass, I could continue for the remainder of this sermonette, but yet I would not have removed the air or the sin from the glass. It would still be filled to the brim. If instead I pour a bit of water into the glass, I have now replaced some of the air and it's no longer there. Now I have this second glass of water here. If I continue to pour this water into the glass, eventually I will completely replace the air. In the same way, we can't remove sin from our lives without replacing it with something else. Nature abhors a vacuum. That's why there are two steps to these days of unleavened bread. The first is putting the leaven out, and secondly, the command to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. And that's what I'd like to talk about today. Why unleavened bread for 7 days? Why a specific command to eat unleavened bread as opposed to just staying away from the leaven? First, let's turn to Leviticus 23 and verse 6 to read one of the instructions God has here, the command to eat unleavened bread. That's Leviticus 23 and verse 6. Everyone who listened to the sermon this morning for us, but this afternoon for some others, of Mr. Henderson's, he also read a command in a different place to eat unleavened bread. But here in Leviticus 23 and verse 6, it says, "And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the eternal. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread." So you can see that this is very important to God. He says you must eat unleavened bread, not just abstain from leavened products. I do need to clarify here, as Mr. Bowles has in the past, that if it's not possible for you to eat unleavened bread because possibly the products are not available to you, depending on your individual circumstances, there's some in third world areas where things aren't quite as easy to get as they are in our Western nations, that, well, if it's not possible for you, it's not possible for you. It's kind of like on Passover, if you're keeping it alone, you can't wash feet. But you can observe, you can think about the foot washing attitude, and in the same way, you can meditate and think a few moments each day, at least, on the importance of eating the unleavened bread. So we've seen this, it's indeed commanded for us to eat unleavened bread for 7 days, but we still have the question of why, you know, besides the obvious command. The answer to this is that the eating of the unleavened bread pictures the keeping of the commandments. I'd like to read some from an article in a March 1979 issue of the Good News magazine entitled "What You Should Know About Passover and Unleavened Bread" by Mr. Armstrong. You can access this article on getbackontrack.org. In this article, Mr. Armstrong says, and I quote, and he's starting talking about Passover, and he leads into the days of unleavened bread. So the first quote here is, he's mentioning Passover. It says, and I quote, "This day is a memorial, not a shadow of the cross, a memorial of deliverance from Egypt, which pictures deliverance from sin, to keep us constantly in the memory of the great fact that having had our sins forgiven by Christ's blood, pictured by the 14th, we are not to stop there and remain in sin, but to go out away from sin. Why should we observe the 14th, picturing the remission of past sins, and then we, commandment keepers of all people, refuse to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread, picturing the coming out of sin, 7 days of unleavened bread, symbolizing and picturing complete putting away of sin, or, he says, in other words, the keeping of the commandments. These feast days picture the keeping of God's commandments. When we eat each day unleavened bread, it pictures the keeping of God's commandments, and they are not just a checklist, as Mr. Bowles is constantly pointing out, but having been expanded by Christ in the New Testament, they encompass the way that God the Father and Jesus Christ live, and that they want written in our hearts and minds. To further illustrate this, let's turn to Ephesians 4 and start in verse 24. It says in Ephesians 4 and verse 24, "And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." In the next verse is verse 26. It says, "Be you angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." And in verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needs." And in verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." In verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of the Eternal, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." You see here, God expects right action, not just the absence of wrong action. Repentance is not simply, it's not simply to stop sinning, it's to turn from it to the way of life, the way of God. In each instance here, Paul is admonishing us to replace the sin with the way of God. It is not enough simply to put sin away, just as with the example of the glass. Unless you replace sin, you can't remove it. And that is what eating the unleavened bread is all about. We are picturing replacing the leaven, displacing it, if you will, with the very law of God, written into our character, our very nature, to live and walk in the way in which God the Father, Jesus Christ, God family, lives and walks. Is there any significance, then, to the number of days we eat unleavened bread? Once again, I would like to quote from Mr. Armstrong's article from March of 79. He says, and I quote, "To what extent shall we put away sin? Not partially, but completely. And as leaven is also a type of sin, leaven puffs up, and so does sin. And as seven is God's number symbolizing completeness, we are to follow the Passover with the 7 days of unleavened bread." So the 7 days picture the completeness with which we should be putting sin out of our lives. Although tonight at sunset ends the days of unleavened bread, 2010, it does not really end for us. We have to continue to eat of the unleavened bread of God's righteous law, ingesting it and making it a part of us until we are born into the glorious kingdom of God.